The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. We're live here inside the MDN studios, and the man is with us, John U. Bacon, noted author, New York Times bestseller. He is a loving husband and a doting dad. Bakes, how you doing this morning?
Shockingly well, my friend. And yes, we've seen each other dad in live in person, haven't we?
Yeah.
Our son is still talking about Quincy, his new best friend.
And so, you know what? Quincy said, so is Teddy going to be, when we go back to Soaring Eagle, is Teddy going to be there? I want to go to Soaring Eagle with Teddy. I said, we'll see what we can work out around town. I don't know if Teddy's going to be at Soaring Eagle next time. So
not Soaring Eagle next time, but hopefully next year. So, but here we are on live radio arranging a play date. But yeah, we got to do that too.
Absolutely.
Busy parents, you know what we're talking about here, right?
Right. Yeah. They sure do. This week, Bakes, is one of those. It's not this way inside your house or my house, but you know how it is in many households across the state of Michigan. The battle lines are drawn through your house for Michigan State Week. That's one of the things that makes it so much fun, but you know, a different feel to this one because it feels like we are winding down, and this could very well be the last Michigan State game of the Mark D'Antonio era. I mean, no clear sign that's the case, but you just feel like it could be. I'm curious what you think of where things sit with Mark D'Antonio as the head man for Michigan State, and do you think this could be it?
That is exactly where I stand. My evidence, like yours, is entirely circumstantial, but there's a pile of it. Some of it positive, of course. He's got set the Michigan State record, all-time wins, passing Duffy Doherty and Biggie Munn. So he's certainly on the Mount Rushmore with Duffy Doherty, Biggie Munn, George Perlis, and D'Antonio. It's really a pretty clear-cut four, I think, in Michigan State's case. He has won Big Ten titles. He's beaten Michigan 8 out of 12 times. So all that points to it. There are also some negative things, of course. He's going to be deposed in the offseason due to the Curtis Blackwell lawsuit. And that might not be very pretty. We'll see about that. But anyway, I think there are a lot of reasons. And, of course, heart condition and so on. He's 63, 64 now, I think. So I think a lot of things point to that. So he's going to retire, obviously, if he does retire soon, with a winning record versus Michigan, no matter what. But this would mean, if this is the last one, and again, circumstantial evidence, but I'm putting 90% on that, this is the last Harbaugh-D'Antonio matchup. They are 2-2. D'Antonio's 8-4 versus Michigan, but he's 2-2 versus Harbaugh. I am very confident. Both coaches know that, and both coaches know that if D'Antonio does step down in the offseason, that this is the last one. And who among those two does not crave a winning record versus the other? I find things pretty civil on the grand scale and usually pretty funny between Michigan State fans and Michigan fans, unlike the Ohio State rivalry oftentimes. But the respect stops the spectators, the players, and the coaches. I was actually surprised when I dived into overtime, the research last year, just how deeply the animosity went between all the folks on the field. It's more intense than I expected, frankly.
Well, John, why don't you tell us about, say, you know, coaches in a booth? We were talking about this earlier this week, but you can tell the story better than we can.
Yes, we can. It's in the book. I know where you're going. 2015, of course, was the craziest. It's the craziest game I've ever seen in person. The craziest final, I can say that. I mean, that has got to be on a short list with the band playing a few others. But, of course, after Michigan's punt is not even punt. The punt is bobbled. Punt snap is bobbled. Michigan State scores that crazy touchdown at the end. And we're all kind of going, holy mackerel, what was that?
Right. Good.
Naturally, Sarah Harbaugh and the coach's suite walked out, put her back against one of the pillars in the walking area of the suites, and slid down and started crying, which is not unusual, I think, for a coach's wife who knows what the stakes are for the family as well as everyone else. The state coaches cheer in their box, as you'd expect. On their way out, one of them sees her against the pillar and walks over to her, looks at the name tag, recognizes the name, and goes, "Oh, boo-hoo," with the, you know, fist towards the eyes, and then walks on. And she has not gone public with that until the book came out. But as she said, if a mission coach had done that, that'd be national news, and probably Brady Hoke, for some reason, would be apologizing. But you know, very little has happened with that with Michigan State. So that's her take on that. I guarantee you this thing is personal between these two guys for a lot of reasons, including last year. I mean, obviously, Ohio State's Michigan's biggest rival, and, you know, Harbaugh, that would solve just about every problem he's got, pretty much, beating Ohio State. But I'm not so sure that on a personal level, in fact, I'd bet, on a personal level, beating State is probably more important.
I was going to ask you, you know, you couldn't miss the how cordial the coaches seem to be.
Yes, talking. I noticed that.
It's like, you know, I was like, this just doesn't seem, not that you would ever, you know, offer bulletin board material, but it was like excessively cordial this week. Almost on both
almost
sides.
Almost insincere.
Right, so I'm listening, and I'm thinking, I was like, you know, I think this is a setup, because I know what's in overtime. I know what the story that Bakes, you know, got down on the record. And so you got to know. You mess with a man's wife, you're messing with him. It's personal at that point.
Yeah, and I'm very confident that Jim has heard that story. So that's in the docket. Last year's thing is in the docket, of course, when D'Antonio denied having any knowledge of it, and then the video clearly shows him 5 feet behind the line, grinning. So anyway.
How about that?
And of course, I mean, in 2014, before Harbaugh gets there.
Pause.
Yes.
Let's go back to that for a second. Is it, I mean, the big to-do pregame, and he, again, D'Antonio, you know, had no idea, right? No idea what happened. And you're right, the camera doesn't lie. The sheepish grin on his face, as if
5 feet behind the line.
As if, yeah, this is what I want to see. Yeah, this is what
I want
to do.
Maybe he was just grinning because he knew that was going to be the most his team moved down the field at any one point in time in the game.
I covered 100 yards.
I mean, but you would think that would really call into question his credibility with a lot. But he said he wasn't there. He didn't see it, or he said he didn't see it.
Yep, didn't see it. Didn't know anything about it. What are you guys talking about? And by the way, D'Antonio is a very smart guy. He's a very good coach, no question about it. You can't, hats off. You cannot deny any of that. He's done more with less than probably anybody in college football, frankly, two- and three-star players and winning Big Ten titles. But that was an incredibly stupid defense.
Right, come on, man.
How is that one not going to come back and bite you in the backside? And I recall talking to Coach Harbaugh about that afterwards, a couple days afterwards. I said, you know, facts are stubborn things, and so is video. John Adams, the second president, who said facts are stubborn things. He did not know about video, but he would agree with that. So that one played out in the course. It should be noted. I mean, there's always back and forth in this rivalry. You can't deny that. 2014, the silly skywriting over Spartan Stadium, you know, go blue, in which the AD denies having any part of it, and the same thing. Then they track down the financial records. It turns out they've been paid, talked to the people who did it, and said, oh, yeah, we got paid, and we were told to fly over Spartan Stadium and so on. State gate, all that other stuff. So both sides have added to this, no question about it. But likewise, you're going to say you had no part of it, then, you know, don't have financial records that they can FOIA to find out otherwise. So I would say on the AD award, I think he wins that one. The coaching award, D'Antonio wins that one. It's just a very stupid thing to do. And then, of course, it's worth noting that the Big Ten fined Michigan State $10,000 in 2018 and censured Michigan without a fine. So they made their own conclusion based on this. As my final line says, the Bacon blog this week, which is, of course, about Michigan State, one of these years, both teams will simply shut up and play the game to the end without incident. But I don't see that happening anytime soon. So far, it's all been hearts and flowers between these two guys. There's no way in hell, no way, you get through the whole game and the aftermath without something being done or said. No way.
Gotcha. All right. So, Bakes, also in the news, and this is not Michigan State, but it's timing-wise, you got to talk about it. So Chase Young, and I think I mentioned this to you on your appearance last week, that Chase Young, arguably the best player in college football, 13.5 sacks through, what was it, 8 games at the time that he had played, just on an absolute tear.
Oh yeah,
was declared ineligible for receiving extra benefits, and I said at the time that there's no way he misses the remainder of the season. Lo and behold, Kirk Herbstreit comes out and says, "Oh yeah, you know, probably 4 games, but people expect that he'll probably only miss 2. He'll be back," which is exactly what I thought would happen. He'd be back for at least Michigan. Ira said, "Oh, he'll be back by Penn State." What happens? He's back by Penn State. So I tweeted this. I tweeted this in the aftermath of it.
I tweeted beforehand saying, no inside sources, but come on.
Right. And so the tweet that I offered on this was very simple. And it was actually, if you paid close attention to it, it was pretty complimentary, Bakes. I said, and this should come as a surprise to absolutely no one, timed out perfectly, chess, not checkers, to which a legion of Buckeyes descended upon my Twitter page with complaint after complaint, berating me, just all kinds of, it's like, well, wait a minute, that's actually a compliment. Why are all of these hit dogs hollering? Why are all of these Buckeyes so defensive when actually this is a compliment for Ohio State knowing how to play the game?
Well, exactly. And look, I mean, I have no idea the machinations behind the scenes, what happened when, you know, when they found out about this, when they reported it, and so on. They reported it right after the Wisconsin game.
wait, because they received an anonymous letter just showed up after the Wisconsin game, Bakes. That's the timing of the anonymous letter was perfect. And then
that worked out well.
And they didn't look.
That worked out well.
They weren't concerned with where the anonymous letter came from. We just got to look into this and get this resolved. And they get it resolved just in time for the Penn State and Michigan games.
Sometimes the chips just fall perfectly, don't they, Sam? Some days are like that in college football. Yeah, that one worked out really well. And even before all that, the notion of 4 games, I had, with complete confidence, I could say that, listen to me, people, there's no way in hell he's out for the Michigan game and probably not for the Penn State game. And I said, I've got no sources, just, you know, experience.
Right.
And then I said, book it. And that was like 5 days ago. This is before, you know, it all came down. And I got about 500 likes or so. And guess what? Boom, boom, boom. So, I mean, this is blind squirrel stuff. The blind squirrel's going to find this nut every time. So,
yeah.
I was a blind squirrel, but as a blind squirrel who knew where the nuts were, that phrase can go badly.
Yeah, you could see this one coming a mile away. And this is, look, this wasn't even about whether or not, you know, you think that this should be something that's against, this should be a rule that, you know, you shouldn't be able to bring your girlfriend to a game. I actually think right. that's a reasonable thing to allow student athletes to do. Fact remains, though, that it is a rule, and they clearly broke a rule. Is 2 games a sufficient punishment? They've determined that it is.
And I said the same thing on my Fog Tweet. 12 Hub tweet is, to be clear, I'm not making any judgments on the ruling one way or the other.
Right.
You know, it should be 2 games or 4 games, whatever. Look, the NCAA right now has not got a leg to stand on. So the last thing they want, in fairness to the Buckeyes, and the Buckeyes have to know this, the last thing the NCAA wants is some fight over arguably the best player in college football right now being knocked out at the most important game of the season based on what seems pretty trivial, frankly, on the grand scale. So I'm not up in any way up in arms over hypocrisy or whatever else. I mean, this is not UNC or even close to it. Sorry, it's not Louisville or even close to it. It's nothing. So I'm not ruling on that. I'm just ruling on the fact that none of that matters. That's not how the NCAA made its call. They didn't look at the facts and say, on a reasonable level, blah, blah, blah. No. They put their finger up in the wind and figured out which way it's blowing and said, no, there's no way in hell we're touching this.
And
that's what they did. I say that with zero evidence and complete confidence.
Right. I'm right there with you, Bakes. And, you know, let's take the cynicism about, you know, how the treatment that they offer Ohio State, Terrell Pryor. We won't get into that. I do think that you're on. So I feel like the NCAA is backpedaling at this point, whether it's the, you know, their proclamation that they are going to be coming up with rules for pay for play, fair pay for play in the aftermath of the California law, or this Chase Young case, or look at what's happening down in Memphis with James Wiseman. So the number one player in the country, they say, hey, you're ineligible because when your family moved to Memphis as a high schooler, it was your coach that did it, Penny Hardaway, who happened to be a Memphis booster. So you are ineligible. He goes out, gets an injunction from a court, and goes out and plays anyway, and he's going to have this lawsuit. Then all of a sudden this week, no lawsuit. He rescinds the lawsuit, is sitting out, and the NCAA is going to review the case and make a determination on his eligibility. He doesn't do that, Bakes, unless there's some sort of agreement. This is my speculation on the matter. Some sort of agreement or conversation.
I know where you're going, and I agree.
He has an understanding. His attorney has an understanding with the NCAA ahead of rescinding the case that guy's going to be back on the court. I think the NCAA is, like you said, the NCAA doesn't want that smoke. He's going to be back on the court this season.
I think you're dead right, of course. My cat. I got two cats, are crying out loud. This is my, yeah. And you're to blame. I just walked on my computer and got your audio going again. So, no, exactly right. Look, there's all kinds of backroom dealings right now with the NCAA. NCAA, from every single legal ruling, they keep on losing one after the other after the other. They're chastened, and they're snake bit, to mix metaphors. And that means that they're not looking for fights these days. You can see that right now. It's the way the IRS, and the IRS scales back its workforce by half. It's probably a great time to cheat on your taxes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right now, the NCAA is not looking for fights. They don't want it. They know that public opinion, look, we're so divided right now as a country, certainly politically. Republicans and Democrats can agree on one thing. The NCAA is terrible.
That is so spot on, Bakes. So spot on. You're right. And it was one of the points we made about the California law. I mean, this was a bipartisan thing. Who was the lead, the lead government official coming out talking about the NCAA? It was Mitt frickin' Romney. So, I mean, this was a of all the things that we are divided on and divided about, this is not one of them. They are amazingly in lockstep. They are a monolith of thought when it comes to the NCAA.
Exactly right. So Penny Hardaway, Chase Young, if you got a beef right now at the NCAA, now is a great time to bring it forward because they're going to probably agree with you, whatever it is, and give you a slap on the wrist. And look, Chase Young, let's see, he's missed what? He missed Maryland, and that was a million to nothing, and he's going to miss Rutgers. And right now the spread is 50 points. And went down to what? We went from 51-point spread to 50-point spread with Chase out of it because hell. You gotta like that one, man.
Right.
I think the NCAA just did Chase a great favor, not simply in reducing his suspension from four games to two games potentially. Hell, giving him two games off. Now you know he's not gonna be, the only chance of him not playing a great game versus Penn State and Michigan is he's injured. Well, he's not gonna be. So, unless he does something crazy in practice, which they don't do very often these days. So, I think all in all, that worked out very well for Ohio State. The NCAA has got its tail between its legs. They don't want any of these fights these days. And if I'm the NCAA, I probably wouldn't either. So, there you go. And like you said, I'm not, two games is probably fine for what happened. Like you said, there are rules. And I recall a whole basketball program going down based on that.
Mm-hmm.
But the rules are negotiable now.
Right. Well. I guess the other thing, like the timing, just it's a very convenient timing, and it does make you go, but I'm not going to be up in arms about it. Bakes.
Now, who are we to question the timing or the anonymous letter or why it would come mid-season, a couple of days after the Wisconsin game? Who are we, Sam, to question that?
Right. Bakes, tell us about the Bacon blog. Tell us where you're going to be talking about overtime.
All right, Bacon Blog is, of course, Michigan State. It goes back all the way to 1855. the insults started between the two schools before there were two schools, with Michigan professors already heaping it on Michigan Agricultural College. Of course, it ended up being a world-class research university, but I go through some of the history. I get down to the bottom of it and get down to, like I said, these two coaches do not like each other, and I don't care what they're saying this week. They don't respect each other either. I think there's genuine animosity there, and I am completely convinced if either coach had the chance to tag 50 on the other, I don't see either one passing it up. And this, I think, will be the last match between them. So it's all been teed up, I think, for one of the great grudge matches of all time. So, and also, by the way, I looked it up on the stats front. Since 1978, Michigan State has won 16 games to Michigan's 24, so they've won 40% of those during that stretch. Not many in the 80s and 90s, of course, but a lot recently. But of those 16 wins, 12 times State was ranked lower, so those are basically upsets. 9 times they were unranked while Michigan was ranked. And 6 times Michigan was in the top 10 and Michigan State was unranked. So here's the caveat to Michigan fans. No team in the Big Ten or in college football is better at upsetting the Wolverines than the Spartans. I would even guess that given those stats, the rest of the Big Ten combined could not equal those numbers as far as pulling upsets against the Wolverines. So I've seen lopsided 1990, man. You're old enough for that one.
Yeah.
Number last one versus no one, right?
Last game I cried over, man.
No kidding.
Yeah, absolutely.
I told the story. I watched that game at Brighton at a friend's house, surrounded by Spartan friends. And, yeah, I didn't, that whole debate about Desmond Howard, I was outvoted.
What debate? What debate? It's not it. Eddie Brown doesn't even debate it. He said, yeah, I did it.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. He said, yes. He admitted it. He said, yeah, I did it. They didn't call it. So what?
Well, you know what? Eddie Brown, you're my new hero. I got to admire the honesty.
We were,
and look,
John,
honestly.
John, we were in the bubble at EMU, and Sam goes, that's Eddie Brown. I got to go over there. And he hopped up and ran over to Eddie Brown and then had this conversation and came back to report this exact thing to me. So it actually happened on the campus at EMU, and I witnessed it from afar. And I think he enjoyed. I think he takes it with glee now, doesn't he, Sam?
Well, he should, frankly. And look, in hockey, we talk about the occasional good penalty. There aren't very many penalties you want to take in hockey. But if their leading scorer's got a breakaway in your goalie and it's, you know, the game's 2-2, you absolutely trip him.
He didn't just trip him, Bakes. He felt him up, man. Come on. I mean, there's a whole lot going on that play. And yeah. Desmond still almost caught it. So
I know. And look, I mean, I thought the ground couldn't cause a fumble, but I guess who knows. Yeah, that was been hashtag. 29 years, man. 29 years.
Yeah, I remember it vividly, of course. Bakes, and so where are you going to be talking about overtime?
Next week, you podcasters, heads up. Tuesday, Portland. Wednesday, Portland, Oregon, that is. Wednesday, Seattle. Thursday, San Francisco. Friday, Los Angeles. Saturday, San Diego. West Coast swing. 5 cities, 5 nights, a whole lot of planes. Check it out, folks, and those guys do a great job out there. So that's where I'm going to be. Thanks for reminding me, because I always forget, Sam, because I stink at this. So I can write okay, marketing, I'm not a whiz, but there we go.
There you go, Bakes. Well, you are a New York Times best-selling author, so you got that. How about that?
Hey, once again, thank you for the marketing, because I'm an idiot. Without you and my wife, I don't know what I'd be doing. So thank you.
All right, Bakes, we'll talk to you again next week, man.
You got it.